Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Why is it that parents seem to never understand? Whether you're a kid, a teacher, a parent on the sideline, it always seems that parents are difficult. Difficult to understand their emotions, difficult to understand their reactions and responses, and more than anything, sometimes it's just hard to understand the reasoning of parents. There's even a song that won a Grammy for Best Rap in 1989 and peaked at number 12 on the top 100. It was so popular in 1988 when I was in high school that I remember my classmates telling me how they used to crank it up so their parents could hear it and they would play it as loud as they could.
You know, parents are the same no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue, parents just don't understand.
But if you thought this episode was going to be me banging on how crazy parents can be, well, you're wrong. It's just the opposite. I want to share with you why parents just don't understand. Just don't understand why they are the way that they are. You see, when you become a parent, you suddenly lose all sense of reason, and it can become difficult for others to understand why parents are the way they are. No matter the culture, all parents are difficult to understand. Before I get into this further, I want to share a brief story that rings in my ears all of the time. When I was a young teacher and Megan and I were first married, I was sitting in the gym at Random Lake Middle School for parent-teacher conferences and discussing with the parents the progress of their children. I had one mom and dad say something to me that turned out to be incredibly true. At least it was for me. Now, I want to disclose that this may not be true for everyone, and some people may hear the following as a shot at their ability to be empathetic for kids. It's not. It doesn't matter if you have kids or not. This whole episode is to get you and others to reflect and understand why parents just don't understand, and that is whether you are or are not a parent. So back to the story. There I was at parent-teacher conferences, sitting at the table in the gym with a line of parents, the parents sitting 10 feet behind the parents sitting at my table. You see, I had just finished sharing with this mom and dad how their student couldn't prove in my class, and I discussed that the parents needed to set some parameters in place and hold their child accountable for the expectations that I had laid out. The parents looked at me and said, "Well, we can't do that." I confidently shot back, "Sure you can." They then asked me, "Mr. Knightsky, do you have any children?" I indignantly said, "No." They said, "Do you plan on having children?" Well, I said, "Yes, of course." They said, "One day you'll understand our answer." They shook my hand and walked away. Now, they weren't rude or mean, but I took it as an insult to my ability to be a good teacher. I mean, come on. I was 28 years old, married, a licensed educator. I'd been coaching for years. I loved kids. I was around kids all of the time. Well, now that I have two kids in high school, guess what I hear in my head all the time? One day you'll understand. So for those of you who deal with parents all of the time, let me share with you a few things. Parents just don't understand why they are the way they are, but they understand their children better than anyone else on the planet. Here's why. Once you have a child, there is something that switches in your brain. You're confused often. You're nervous frequently. You lack confidence. You respond to otherwise normal things as if the world is going to end. And finally, you just can't stop thinking about all the things that will go wrong. I'm going to share with you three stories to help you understand and help me illustrate how crazy I became when I became a father. I've spoken with other parents and grandparents, and they always say the same thing to me. Yep, I understand. I don't understand why this happens to me either, but I understand. It was late on the evening of June 22nd, 2002 that I first became a lunatic. I still don't understand why it happened or why I did what I did, but the weird moment is still brought up by the people that I love. You see, that is the day I became a father. And less than 90 minutes after I first held my son, Charlie, I felt emotions I had never felt before. I heard things in my mind that were confusing, and I felt the defensiveness about my family that was new and made me upset that I had such skinny arms. I wasn't going to be able to fend off any wild animals or biker gangs with these noodle arms. Anyway, my parents and Megan's parents came to the hospital. Our little guy, Charlie, was both families' first grandchild, and the room was filled with joy, love, and happiness, and it elevated all of us. About 10 minutes into the grandparents discussing how much this crinkly-faced and triangle-headed child looked just like Megan or I when we were born, they started taking pictures. A lot of pictures. And the flash was going off constantly. And suddenly I said, "All right, no more pictures. That flash is going to blind them." They all started to giggle at me. But I suddenly was overcome with a very protective emotion and incredibly weird feelings. I said things to myself like, "Take my mom's camera. I'm going to smash it. Break the flashes. You better knock it off. You're going to blind my son." I knew that flashes never hurt me, that I couldn't go blind, but I demanded they stop. Sensing that I wasn't kidding, they stopped. After they left, Megan asked me, "What was that all about?" I remember not knowing. Like, I just don't understand why that happened. But my mind ran with an insane narrative 90 minutes after he was born. And guess what? It's still happening all the time. Parents have a set of ideas of what their kids will be in the future, and we protect that vision like wildebeests. No one will stand in our way, and no one can protect them as much as we will. We will protect our narratives, and many times when the story in our head is interrupted by a new reality, we don't really want to accept it, and that is when we become a problem for others. The second time that I was overwhelmed with a protective feeling was when I wanted to punch a four-year-old. Yep, I'm a grown man staring down a four-year-old kid, then looking for his parents because I wanted to go after them. Now, I'm far from a violent guy, not much of a fighter, more of a lover or a talk your way out of the fight kind of guy. But we were at a birthday party when Charlie was four, and it was for another four-year-old, and another boy came up to my son and took a toy forcefully from him and then pushed him down to the ground. I was standing about 9 feet away, and when I saw it, the central stem of my brain flared. My amygdala swelled, and for some reason, I think the reptilian brain in me took over. I felt emotions I had never felt before. And when I witnessed someone threatening my son, well, I was thinking of all the different ways I was going to go after that kid's entire village. It took about 3 seconds for me to reflect on what was going on. But I had an elevated heart rate. I was sweating. My fists were clenched. It was the same emotions I used to feel when I was fouled hard when I played soccer. I wanted to inflict the same on the four-year-old that I was feeling. I would not want another person to be going through that, and I was upset. But there it was again, this weird instinctive protection swelling inside of me. Now, no one tells you this before you have children. Oh, well, actually, everyone actually tells you this, but you just don't understand because you haven't been listening, because you haven't lived it. By the time kids get school-aged, parents are doomed. At least for the first child. The second, third, and fourth, well, I guess it might get a little easier because you can predict a little more. But once they go to school, you're now creating insane stories in your head. You worry about so much that you can't control, and it gets really bad when you don't have the details. So in the absence of facts, us parents, as a result of not understanding, fill in the blanks with our own insane narrative. Why? Well, because we're not by nature optimistic. No one is. And when it comes to survival, we're pessimistic. We find ourselves becoming greater lunatics by the minute. Now, to be fair, not all parents are like this. Some of them are just better at waiting until no one is around before they start howling at the moon. But in general, we begin to create narratives that consume us until we get the facts. I was with a good friend of mine the other day, and he was sharing with me an issue that emerged in his son's life. It was a really good problem as I listened to it. But then my friend, well, he's one of the smartest, calmest, most reliable people I know in the entire world. He started to sprint down a rabbit hole of doom. He shared how his son was going to lose everything, how they were going to have to pick him up and bring him home, and how he's going to live there, and how he'd never get a job, and how his life was basically over, and it was all the end. The end was coming. My eyeballs must have been about 5 inches high because I was shocked that he was thinking down this train of thought. It was absolutely unreasonable. But then I started to think of conversations I had had with my wife, with other friends, how so many people in my life of all ethnicities and demographics have had the same problem. And then it hit me. Parents just don't understand. Here's my last example of how a relatively normal person, me, can spiral. We wanted our son Charlie to get his college applications done before the school year started his senior year of high school, which, by the way, was 2 months ago. He was procrastinating like crazy. Now, that's a pretty normal behavior for a 17-year-old, but because he's our first, His procrastination was weighing on Megan and me. Then one of our friends' kids piped off to him, "I'm not even worried at all. I don't even know where I'm going to go next year, if I'm even going to do anything when I graduate from high school." Charlie turned to me and said, "See?" And then this absurd narrative flashed through my head. Charlie's not motivated. He's not going to work or go to school next year. He's going to live in my basement forever. He's going to end up depressed. He's not going to end up being successful the way he wants. He's going to end up in my house forever. I'm never going to be able to retire. And then I was like, stop. What is going on? So here's the deal. Parents don't understand. Just like Will Smith said. And the reason we don't is we don't know in the moment of madness for ourselves a few very important things. First, we don't know how to control the situation, which, frankly, we can't. Second, we don't know how to protect our children from our fears. Third, we don't know what the consequences of their actions or inactions will be. And finally, our vision has been disrupted, so we are now inventing worst-case scenario narratives that are blowing our vision out of the water. So anyone who has or works with kids, here is what you do when you run across a parent who just doesn't understand. Always, always be thinking about the previously mentioned list of things that drive parents themselves to madness. They don't know how to control the situation. They don't know how to protect their child in the moment. They don't understand what the consequences are, and their narrative has been disrupted. So first step when you come across a parent that doesn't understand is for you to breathe and be empathetic. So few of their worries actually will come true, but recognize that that parent in that moment in front of you may be upset about their child's first grade reading scores. But the reality is they're thinking their six-year-old is now not going to go to college, or worse, they'll never be able to read. They're going to be held back, and their friends, oh my gosh, my kids' friends, they're all going to leave them behind. That's not an unreasonable mindset for parents when they come in to talk to you about reading scores. The second thing to do is to inquire more about what the parents are thinking, and then ask a lot of questions. Questions like, what do you think will happen as a result of this? You need to get the narrative out of their heads so that you understand what type of minefield you're in and how to navigate your way out of it. Get them to tell you everything that they think, everything that they're worrying about, and everything that they fear. One issue for those of us who work with kids is that we fail to listen to parents too often. And too often, those parents at parent-teacher conferences, well, they're just sitting there listening to teachers do all the talking. And then that leaves the parents with a lot more questions, which lead to greater worries. Stop talking at parent-teacher conferences and start listening and questioning. The third thing is to recognize that parents are trying to maintain control and they'll fight like crazy to keep it. Control of their child's safety, control of their child's opportunities, control of their future. It's just their nature. It's not wrong. It's who they are. Like the flashes when my son was born in the hospital room. They'll be unreasonable when they hear things that don't align with their vision. So again, you need to explain how they can support the child, how you can help support the child, how they can get the story back on track. And most importantly, you can't ever, ever try to wrestle control away from those parents. That's why things like the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, they keep the kids away from their parents, or seminaries or training institutions. They try to keep parents at bay because we naturally will interfere. We naturally will want to control, and we will naturally want to protect our offspring. Last, support the parents' narratives. Parents have stories in their heads just like everyone else, and when they come to you for support, they are looking to fill in the blanks or to get the evidence to prove themselves right or wrong. It is very emotional. They say crazy things like, well, you just never understood my son. You never liked him. You don't care about my daughter. I heard that you don't even like kids. Yowza. It happens. If you are listening to this and thinking parents must be insane, I want to help build some empathy for you. Many of us, when we are not feeling well, we do the first thing that comes to mind. We Google search our symptoms. Just for fun, I searched causes of earaches. Quote, in certain cases, the buildup of viral fluid in the inner ear can cause deafness or even death. Now, before this, it said things like earwax buildup can cause the pain, use of a Q-tip, shampoo or water trapped, or changes in air pressure. But no one thinks of that. They immediately go to, my ear hurts, I'm dying. And we begin calling all of our friends to say goodbye and making arrangements to meet with our extended family because of our earache. That is how it feels 24 hours a day for some parents. So when you get the extreme end of us, those who are always prodding, asking, worrying, and helicoptering, remember a few things. The technology that's used in schools and businesses have not made it easier for parents. It's made it worse. I can see where on the planet my son and daughter are using my phone. My wife gets an alert on her phone each time a teacher enters something into the gradebook. We get phone calls from the school to remind us to go to things, emails that tell us when the kids have homework and tests, and news feeds for everything. Is it nice? Yes, but it is also what creates helicopter parents. Too much information to disrupt their narratives and not enough detail. So when you get an email from a parent asking 100 questions, be empathetic. Pick up the phone and ask what they really need to know. Reassure them that you're not threatening their future and demonstrate the path to success for their child. The child's choices all day long are what they are. They're the kids' choices, but parents see these choices and drop in control and protect mode initially. That is until they realize through your empathy what the facts are, that their child is not going to end up in a maximum security prison when they're an adult for not turning in a social studies assignment in fifth grade, and that you are there on the journey with and for them. People who have children and those who don't would do the world a lot of good if they focused on supporting the parent who has put themselves in the control, protect, and defend narrative mode. So you as a leader need to simply charge into the storm and listen, clarify, and support. This is all that us parents who just don't understand need in order to actually understand. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you can support parents with the details needed to support the narrative. List strategies to support parents who are stuck in control mode. Describe how you can be allies with parents when they are in protect mode. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please rate and share this episode to help me help others. Also, send this to young parents and teachers and professionals to help them understand what they're going through, and especially for those of us who need to remember that parents really simply just don't understand what's going on. Thank you to the Wellpennies for the music, and please see their website. They have new merchandise that you can get and a really cool new print. Last, I've wanted to do some version of this episode for a really long time. Parents, we're doing our best. Teachers, we're doing our best. Professionals, we're doing our best. And conflict only emerges when there is no clear path to the future of our narratives for those that we love. I often wonder if you could have made my heart feel the way it does on the days it aches for my children when I didn't have children. And I wonder if I would have gone into the business of kids or even had kids because of those feelings. Well, I don't need to wonder. My answer is always yes. You know why? Because when your heart aches, it means that it has meaning. Unless, of course, you Google it. Then you'll learn that your heart is aching because you're having a heart attack and you need to take an aspirin and call 911 immediately. But seriously, parents and professionals, those who have kids and those who don't, parents truly don't understand because they're wired to control the environment of those they are responsible for. They have evolved to protect those they love. And they all have dreams for those they care about. Now, that doesn't matter if you have kids or not. You just care, and that can hurt, make you defensive, and a little crazy. When any of those three are disrupted, we ache. So this week, grow in your empathy for others. Support other parents by filling in the blanks. And for the sake of your own sanity, recognize that there is a certain freeness in just simply not knowing. And that, as a parent, grandparent, uncle, aunt, teacher, or neighbor, that it is your daily actions that support those you love, and that they will hear your voice every moment they need to hear it. Focus on creating the environment for success and talk to your kids like this great Tim McGraw song does, because it's a great parenting reminder. Finally, be great this week and buffalo into the storm to help the parents, because frankly, we just don't understand.
You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Go to church 'cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be wasted time. Always stay humble and kind. said please, said thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind.